faithful as we go into the word. Lord, just I receive your grace in sufficient measure and the help of the Holy Spirit. As I speak today, I will not speak for myself, but I'll speak under the authority of my spiritual father that have sent me to share your word today, that your word will go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and our lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation knowledge as the word goes forth, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Let the word go forth in power. Let it break yokes in our life. Let it cause needs to men. Let it bring glory and praise to Lord Jesus and blessings unto us, the sons of men. I also ask for grace, Lord God. I possess my faculties. Help me to, Lord, say only what you permit. Lord God, as I speak, help me to redeem the time. Lord, Holy Spirit, I lean on you for help. I thank you for that which you will do in this service today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Please play something in the background, like I mentioned earlier, so I can help me to flow, so I don't rush through what God has for us today. Please, it's very important. I already sent Pastor Andrew. Please, let me tell them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for the privilege once again to stand before God's people, and I'll be speaking once again on what Pastor and Mommy have been sharing over the years, and in particular in recent times. As you go on, you understand why I said so. Pastor preached a message about 2 Sundays ago, I believe, about walking the narrow path by God's mercy. And as I was waiting on God, God brought back something he told me about year 2020. And I went to look for it and I dug it out. And I now added what Pastor said, because he made it clearer. It was now clear to me. And especially the wisdom to attain unto it. So the title of my message this evening is Strive to Enter In by the Narrow Door. Let's say it together. Strive to enter in by the narrow door. Please play the organ. Thank you. Strive to enter in by the narrow door. If you open the Bible, look up book of Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Somebody asked the Lord Jesus Christ a question. He said, are there few that be saved? The salvation we are talking about today is not the salvation of getting born again. We are talking about the total salvation of our spirits, souls, and bodies, like we see in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 9. It says that the Lord preserves us, you know, by the power, we are preserved by the power of God unto salvation, where to be revealed in the last days. So there is a salvation that we should expect to be revealed among his people in these last days. And verse 9 says, that receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So this question, the same person says, stay in Luke chapter 13, verse 23. So let us see the question as I continue. So I'm not talking about getting born again. We are all born again. I'm talking, the person says, then said one unto him, Lord, let's read, Lord, are there few that be saved? And then Jesus Christ answered them, not the person that asked the question. Somebody asked the question, but he gave the answer to all. By extension, it applies to us. So let us go to, because of time, Luke chapter 13, read from verses 24 for the answer in the Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 13, read from verses 24 to 30. Are we there? So let us see what the Master said. We are reading from the Amplified Bible. Strive to enter by the narrow door. Force yourselves. Force yourselves through it. For many, that means the majority, I tell you, we try to enter and will not be able. That will not be our portion. When once the Master, who is the Master? The Lord Jesus Christ. Of the house gets up and closes the door. And you begin to stand outside to knock at the door. Again and again, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you. I do not know where, what our soul, certainly not mine, you come from. Next verse. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. That is, people that have been hearing the word of God over and over. And you taught in our streets. So that speaks about the leadership and the followership. It's the teachers that teach. Are you following me? And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not what? Know where? What our soul, certainly not mine, you come from. Depart from me, all you wrongdoers. King James says, all you workers of iniquity, said they will depart from me. And like we also know, that word know is not knowing somebody just by name. It is the knowing of a husband and wife that causes the wife to conceive and to give birth to a child in their image. Like the Bible talks in the book of Genesis about Adam. So Adam knew Eve. I think it's Genesis chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. And it says that they gave birth to a son in their image, which means that they made a mistake. They should have given birth to sons after God's image if they had not fallen. So let's keep on reading. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where, what household, certainly not mine, you come from. Depart from me, all you wrongdoers, workers of iniquity. There will be what? Weeping and grinding of teeth when you see what? Abraham, say Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. So we are talking about entering the kingdom of God. But you yourselves being cast forth, banished, driven away. Next verse. And people will come. That is where it now involves everybody in the world. From the east and west, and from the north and the south, and sit down, feast at table in the kingdom of God. Next verse. And behold, let's together. And behold, there are some now, last who will be first. Then there are some now, first who will be last. Then we all know, prophetically speaking, that the destiny of the sons of Ham are supposed to be last people that are going to be first in this end time, as we've been spoken, as we've been taught. Noah had three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Lord Jesus Christ came through Shem. The second revival came through the sons of Japheth, which we are enjoying up to now. So the last now are we the sons of Ham. So we can now understand why Satan has done everything to keep the sons of Ham down, because of the curse that came upon Canaan, the son of Ham. Praise the Lord. It's very important that I say that. King James calls it the straight gate. It's the same thing. Amplified says, calls it the narrow door. It's the same thing. Praise the Lord. So I checked my Bible and it said strife. It says strife. What does it mean to strife? I put it down. The Greek word strife here is agonizomai. If I may not get the pronunciation properly, because I didn't study Greek. But you can know that's where we get the word agonize from. Say agonize. So it means to enter a contest, to contend in gymnastic games, to contend with adversaries, to fight, struggle with difficulties and dangers, and finally, to endeavor with strenuous zeal to obtain something. Let's read that part together. To endeavor with strenuous zeal to obtain something. Notice he said in the book of in the Amplified I read, he says, force yourself through. Say, force yourself through. Force yourself through. The force we are talking about there is not physical force. It is spiritual force. A force of spiritual arms. So as Christians, we are called to strive in the place of intercession. That is our calling. When we talk about striving as Christians, it's not a physical thing. It's not a physical battle. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. So it says, force yourself through. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Let's just put the scripture behind it. Romans 14, 17. What does it say? Romans 14, 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. Where Paul was talking, please. Lord, have mercy on me. Where? 17. 17, please. Let's read together. It says, force yourself through. What does that mean? We have to force our way spiritually into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, like I said earlier on, is not talking here about heaven. It says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in what is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For you to enter the kingdom, I follow me, to possess the kingdom, to possess righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you have to force yourself through. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. I said we strive as Christians in the place of prayer. Paul was talking to the Romans, said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you do what? Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So when we strive as Christians, we are striving in the place of prayer. Praise the Lord. It's very important we put that as we continue. Colossians chapter 4, verse 27, Amplified Bible. Talks about Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4, verse 27 in the Amplified Bible. Colossians 4, 27 in the Amplified Bible. We're talking about Epaphras. I want to let us see. Colossians chapter. Somebody should please help me upstairs. Please, somebody help me so we can be fast. I don't want to waste time. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 9, Colossians chapter 4, where it's talking about Epaphras labored for you fervently in prayers. Yes, I know. Colossians chapter 4, verse 27. 27, please. 27. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, Epaphras, who is one of you? Is it 12? Okay, sorry, I made a mistake. Epaphras, who is one of yourselves, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always striving for you earnestly, what? In prayers, pleading that you may, as persons of ripe character and clear conviction, and stand firm and mature in what? Spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. That is, God expects us, through intercession, as you strive in the place of prayer, to grow, in summary, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 in the King James Bible. I'll read a lot of scriptures today so that we can make it clear. Say, know ye not, that's Paul talking, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that what you will what? Obtain. Next verse. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Next verse. I therefore so what? Run. Not as uncertainty, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. Next verse. But I keep under my body and break into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means it was possible. Paul preached to people. But in spite of that, he said, look, if I don't keep my body under, I may be a castaway. Why? That means the problem that we have, every Christian, is the sin nature in the flesh. So to summarize what Pastor touched us on about 2 Sundays ago, the summary is this. Entering in by the narrow door or the narrow way into the kingdom speaks of living a life of daily, consistent self-denial of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To enter the dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost over our souls and bodies. I will repeat. I'm trying to summarize what Pastor said. That is when you hear things like enter in, strive to enter in by the narrow door. Enter in. What it means is very simple. God is calling us as Christians to a life of self-denial. That's why Paul said. He said, he that striveth for masteries is temperate in all things. He now talks about him keeping his flesh under. Said as if it means that if he does not keep his flesh under, he may be a castaway. Not because he's an apostle, but you see, the flesh is the problem. The Bible said the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Said these are contrary one to another. You will not be able to do what you want to do. That's what Paul was saying in the book of Romans, chapter 7. So I'll read again. Say, entering in by the narrow door or way into the kingdom speaks of living a life of daily, consistent self-denial. It's not something we do haphazardly, that you pray today, you don't pray tomorrow. It has to be daily, one, and it has to be consistent. That's what he means by patience. He said, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You don't do it today, then you stop tomorrow. Now we don't make mistakes, but you are consistent. Are you improving that consistency and diligence? Self-denial of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to enter the dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost over our souls and bodies. Bible says in Luke chapter 21 verse 9, it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. That is, in your daily consistency, in the place of self-denial, possess your souls. And if you look in what Luke chapter 21 quoted, he was talking in the context of the end time. You see, God is very wise. You may wonder, why is God allowing what Satan is doing at this time? I will give a simple explanation. You see, if Bible says, I'll use the scripture to explain, say, when thy judgments are in the earth, then with the inhabitants of the land, including Christians, learn righteousness. Most of us, including me, will not do the right thing as diligently as we ought to, except when we're under pressure. So God will allow it to push his people into the kingdom. Are you with me? So you see, if everything is okay, you find that it's very easy to be complacent and to take things easy. So you see that the pressure is increasing. It's like when you are cooking something or you are using a pressure cooker, you increase the heat. Why? So as to cause the thing to be done on time. Are you following me? So you see, these pressures that are coming against the body of Christ, that are coming against the world at large, is like a catalyst. It does not take part in the reaction in terms of, but it speeds up. So it is not the perils of the end time that will perfect the church, but it will kick the church and push the church, you and I, into perfection. So no matter how much you pray, that God take away the prayers of the end time. He's not going to take it away. Like Paul was crying to him and was saying, Lord, this thing I've been solved. He said, No. God is going to allow that pressure to push us into the kingdom, which is our destiny. That when we now possess the kingdom, we'll now dominate. The Bible says that the heavens are the Lord. But the earth has it given over to the sons of men. The Bible says, sit at my right hand and rule what? In the midst of your enemies. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that as I continue. So I said, in our way, speaks of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ lived while he was on earth. This is exactly what the master did. You see, one of the greatest things that has come out from this pulpit, in fact, is the greatest thing, is the message of perfection. Pastor will come every Wednesday and will say, Jesus Christ is our goal and is our pattern. So wherever you go, whatever you hear, if it does not match up with what the pattern did or what is your goal, then don't take it. Strive to do what the master did, because it is our pattern and it's our goal. And what I want you to know is that don't ever say there is not possible to be like him. Why? You see, he said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this will you do also. Why will the master tell us to do something that he knows is not possible? God is not a man to lie, neither is son of man that he should repent. You see, what I've discovered is this. You know that scripture, I think in Matthew, it says that few be that find that way. I thank God for pastor and for mommy, for they have found that way. Not everybody can find that way. They found that way. So when I begin to talk and I begin to explain some of these things, what is left for us to do is don't be afraid and say, oh, self-denial. No. It's so easy. Everything, as we see at the end of the day, is going to be done by mercy and grace. I'm getting out of my mind. Mercy goes to the honest-hearted people. And grace is given to the humble. So it is not a question of God not ready to help you. It's a question of us increasing daily in honesty of us. So more mercy can come, which is like that net that catches you when you fall. And then the more you increase in humility, more grace can come. Are you with me? But it gives this grace to the lowly. So once you can learn and keep your heart with all diligence, and you are watchful all the time over your heart, more mercy will come, more grace will come. So you are not going to be boasted. Bible says it's not of him that will it, it's not of him that run it, but you that share mercy. You can wake up today and pray for 10 hours. The flesh wants to say, wow, I prayed for 10 hours today. But you see, the moment you start thinking like that, the grace starts dropping. So he brings you to a place whereby, like Paul said, he said, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver him from this body of sin? Are you with me? I went to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Praise the Lord. Say, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for us. No, but we have a problem in the body of Christ today. Many are not following the goal of the pattern son. Many are not following the goal of trying to be like him. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he's come to bring many sons to glory. These things ought to be clear in our minds. What our purpose is, what our destiny is. So it is what is going to direct you in the decisions you make in life. It's what is going to direct you in what you do. So you don't start playing games. Paul said, I don't beat the air. I'm not fighting the one that is beating the air. I'm not praying to impress anybody. I have a goal and there's a time for everybody. Praise the Lord. It's very important. So many have despised the ways of how the master walked. Psalm 89 verse 41. Let's read together. Psalmist 51. Let's read together. Wherewith thine enemies are reproached, O Lord. That's O Lord. Wherewith they have what? Reproached what? The footsteps of thine anointed. That word anointed is the Messiah. The body of Christ, two-thirds, said they have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thy anointed. Put in the previous verse. David was complaining. Previous verse, 50. Let me just read it. Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. That is, there's a reproach that comes when you begin to preach this message, which our fathers have gone through over and over and over. We have come to a day that the Bible says the plowman will overtake the reaper. You see, there are things you must know. They are clear to me. I see them. All I ask God for daily is grace and mercy to walk in the light of what God has shown me. It's very important. It's different from seeing it. There's a different thing for you to enter into it. But I trust that the Lord will help. To get all presence. There are three things we need to know about unity of spirit in the body of Christ. We have the unity of faith. Very important. When we get born again. We have the unity of the spirit. That is the endeavoring to keep the of the spirit in the bond of. That's what we do when we wash feet. Or when you walk in the love of God. And that is what is going to bring about the manifestation of the glory of God. There's one more unity that the church, you see, the first one, everybody has it. Second one, some of us have it. The third one, most people don't have it. The unity of knowledge. The unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. How he walked while he was on earth. Now, look, he said something. He said, I have come to send fire upon the earth. He said, in the house, there will be five. Three against two. Two against three. The fire against the sun. What is the fire that's going to bring about the division at the end, in the end time? The word of God. That is sharper than a two-edged sword. That will divide asunder. That is how you are going to know. Those that serve God and those that are not serving him. And they will be mine, said the Lord of hosts. When I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spare the son that serveth him. Then shall you discern. That means people are not discerning before. Then shall you discern the righteous from the wicked. That means now it's not clear. But something is about to happen in the body of Christ. Starting from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Praise the Lord. So they have reproached the footsteps of the anointed, which they might have bizarre, which was going to be talking about today. Praise the Lord. So I start today as I meditate on the scriptures. God brought a story to my mind about Elimelech. When he took his family to sojourn in the land of Moab. Anytime you read in the scriptures, the word Moab is a type and shadow of the flesh. So let's read from Ruth chapter 1, read from verses 1 to 5. We all know the story of what happened. There was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. And there was a man called Elimelech. God is my king. That's the name of his name. Then he took his wife and his children to sojourn in the land of Moab. Moab there stands for the flesh. Are you with me? Very important to understand the scriptures. That is why there will always be a famine in the land. There will always be pestilences. Just like we have in our nation, Nigeria, today. And banditry, all kinds of things. But for you to say that you are going to go away, that means you are a type of Elimelech in the Bible. Because Boaz was right there in Bethlehem, Judah. And you know the funny thing, Boaz is a kingsman redeemer, a type of Christ. And Elimelech was related to Boaz. So we're talking about leaders in the church today that are afraid and are encouraging their brethren to leave the nation. I follow me and leave Boaz behind to go into the flesh. So let's read. Please don't leave Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. This nation is a nation of destiny. It is a nation of destiny. And Boaz, our king's man redeemer, is in this nation. Though there be a famine, though there be pestilence, though there be killings or armed robbery, armed banditry, everything. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that has come. So he's not denying that the hour of temptation has not come, but has promised that I will keep you. Where is he keeping us today? In the cocoon. Where it seems as if you are not doing anything at all. But a lot is going on daily. When you get up and you pray, a lot is going on day. Sooner than you expect, the cocoon is going to break out. And we're going to emerge as a butterfly. So let's read Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. So let's read what this man did. So unfortunate. God will always tell his people. It's all this is not in my notes. You know, Abraham went. Look at how he came back. He brought Hagar back. Isaac was going to say, Isaac, don't go. Don't go. Go back. A lot of things that are in my heart. I'm just trying to stay with my nose. So I go, digress. You see, any mistake that we make, even though we don't see things, you know, the mistake, the consequences, the attacks they can be given us. Our father Abraham, he made a mistake when he went to Egypt. He brought back Hagar, gave back to Ishmael. God overlooked it. The fact that God keeps quiet when you make a mistake does not mean that the consequence of that thing is not serious. He said, don't worry, I will bless Ishmael because he's a good God. He's a merciful God. Abraham gave it back to Isaac. After giving back to Isaac and Sarah dies, I don't know why the anointing was so much. He went again and picked up Keturah. Keturah gives back to six children. Out of which are the Midianites that troubled Israel. Who Who told you it does not matter? Was the Midianites that gave them problem in the book of Judges? Who told you it doesn't matter? Or is it you want to talk about Lot? Who told you it doesn't matter? You must be careful that we obey God's commandment, because there are some sins you can commit that will affect your generations to come and try to hinder the purpose of God. It was because of the incest between Lot and his children. You see, folks go today, Christians go to different places to go and pray for children, and they get them. But who gave it? Who is in charge? He gave that to Moab and Ammon. They gave Israel a problem. Amalek, grandson of Esau. God said, I will have war with Amalek always. Who told you sex outside marriage doesn't have a problem? You see, we need to come to a place whereby the word of God is our constitution. If he says it, he knows what he's saying. So don't find another way. There's no other way. The consequences may come years after. I mentioned the example of Abraham. He took Keturah. He had 6 children. What happened? One of them is Midian. The Midianites. It was the Midianitish woman that caused a problem in the wilderness, together with Moab, that Eleazar had to come and smite both of them with a spear before the plague to stop. But wouldn't that have been good if they never existed at all? Let me continue. They are not in my notes. Have you read? Sorry, let's go back to Ruth. Now it came to pass. Let's go. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine. Say, there was a famine in the land like Nigeria. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread, went to what? Say, sojourn. Sojourn. Say, sojourn. The sojourn became a sour journey. In the country of Moab, he said, he and his wife and his 2 sons. Next verse. And the name of the man was Elimelech. God is my king. And the name of the wife was what? Naomi. And the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites, double portion, of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab. And what? Continued journey. Say, continued. That is the problem. The flesh may trip us occasionally, but we must not continue there. Says, and they continued there. Next verse. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. Next verse. They took them wives of the women of Moab. So you see, folks, be careful who you marry. They should have married in Bethlehem, Judah. It would have made life more easier for them. You can't marry an unbeliever, for God's sake. Neither can you marry an unbeliever, a believer that does not believe in what you believe. You're going to have problems. Instead of you praying 1 hour, you're praying 3 hours. Where do you have the time? The time is so short. Let's keep reading. And they took down wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about what? 10 years. 10 in the Bible speaks about the 10 commandments, the perfecting of the love of God. So instead of them to perfect God's law in 10, they spent 10 years in where? Moab, in the flesh. Next verse, verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. So the sojourn became a sour journey. We know the story, but I don't want to dwell on today. So she became Mara. Somebody that was sweet before became Mara, began to blame God. Isn't that what happens when we make mistakes? When we don't deal with the root of our problems, when we don't obey God, they begin to blame God. Why did you allow this to me? Look, let God be true and every man a liar. There's no way. I have so much confidence in God. Whatever befalls us as human beings, we need to look inward. I say nothing from without can defile a man except that it was him. If Elimelech had said he was going, now he should have said, sweetheart, I am not following you. It doesn't matter if the guy threatens with divorce. But what would have happened? He would have stayed there and be able to pray under the right covering of Boaz and bring them back. Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. Every covenant we enter into, the constitution is based on the word of God. You need to know that. Praise the Lord. So we know the story. That's what happened to them. Proverbs 16, verse 25. says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man or to Elimelech, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the problem is, like I mentioned, in verses 2 and 4, Bible says they continued there for 10 years. They continued like they did tarry still. You see, we are not talking about, Pastor will always say, God is not demanding immediate perfection, but is demanding immediate practice. It's not going to Moab, but that is the problem. But once they got there, they will have discovered that God was not present there. They will have recognized that, the fellowship I used to have in church is not here again. Things will begin to dry up, like God was drying up the water that John the Baptist was using to baptize. If you read that sum of John, he said John kept going down, because we went to Salim, where the river was small. That means God started drying the ministry up. Look, this is not what I've called you to do. That's not your purpose, not your destiny. Instead of John to stop, he kept baptizing until the water in him dried up. So what are we saying? They continued that 10 years. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. See, when we do something wrong, Bible says, I gave them space to repent. God always gives us space, time. That is the mercy of God. Because he's not willing that any should perish. I said the other day by the Spirit, neither is he willing that any of his children will not fulfill their destiny. If he's not willing for the unbeliever to perish, wants them to born again. Will he be willing for you and I not to fulfill our perfect destiny? That's why he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He will tell the tree, you've been here for 3 years. Okay, no problem. Let us dung it again. They keep on dunking it. Keep on dunking it. Because at the bare mercies of Christ, when it was handed over, there is not, you can't beg again. It will be very sad for you to be crying. And the God will say, look, you spent over half of your life sleeping when you have to be praying for good money just in the morning. By then, it's too late. It's too late. Or say you've been eating too much. You spent too much time eating. That's why the problem is that you couldn't enter anybody. You know what the Bible says? It says talked about the camel. It said, you have to be like a camel to enter the eye of the needle, to enter into the kingdom. That means all the garbages, all the waste and the sins, you have to drop them. So you can force yourself to enter in by the door. That's not what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. So the end of living in the flesh is the destruction of the flesh. Two thoughts. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Say, did you such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord? You see, we're not talking about going to hell. Someone will go to hell. So unfortunate. You see, I cannot but tell you the truth. I have to tell you the truth. God has spoken to me over and over, over and over. He said, if I sent you to somebody, and if you don't tell him, say, you're going to, I'll require his blood at your hand. I'm being serious. So I take my time to say exactly what God has said. As far as I'm concerned, I'm delivered. Now, the problem for me is this, because I'm still working on my flesh, I need to learn how to speak the truth in love. So I don't minister, and then I hurt God's people. Because the Bible says that he's going to lead this flock with gentleness. Praise the Lord. So, two thoughts. Let us now see Romans chapter 8, verse 13, Amplified Bible. You see, if you go to Moab, and you stay there, the end is destruction of your flesh. Don't let any man deceive you. He that leaveth the congregation of the righteous, he said, he that leaveth the way of the righteous shall abide the congregation of the dead. What is it? He said, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. I like the way Papa Brother Banks spoke some years ago, when I started attending church, when he came, he said, go and buy a coffin. If you want to choose living in the flesh, just go and buy a coffin. So every time you want to go to bed, sleep inside the coffin, and then you can go out again. Then when you go, because you are going to die. Say, go and buy a coffin. Please don't buy a coffin. Won't buy a coffin. We are the generation that will cut up with the rapture. Praise the Lord. I won't make it. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually, put into death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. So the issue is not whether God is not making provision, but is, are God's people using it, or are they using it as diligently as they ought to? Now, even if the question is not immediate perfection, I keep repeating, it's a question of practice. It just man will fall 7 times. God will pick him up again. You don't get born again and get perfect the same day or the next day. No. God gives you enough room. And he's a just God. He knows what he has given you. They will never set an exam, but it's not the syllabus for the students. It's not possible. They can protest and they will cancel the exam. So God will never allow Satan to tempt you to be what you are able to bear. But he will see that, look, I've taught him. He understands. Now you can go through the test. I remember a story I just mentioned in passing, Papa Egan. You see, it's good to be under covering. Covering does something. It protects you, preserves you, covers for your weaknesses, everything you don't need to do. You're supposed to be doing 4 times a day, and then you are not doing 4 times a day. Covering will cover. But don't take it for granted that I don't need to do it for things to work. There's going to be a demand made on you one day. Give you an example. Can I take it? He said his son, the one that's handy in ministry today. He said when they were young, they used to go to swim, put go and swim. Then when they find a swim, you will have what? In his air. Then we'll take him to the doctor, they will clean it out. They take the doctor, they clean it out. And he said one day, he was going to pray for him. I think boy was about, his son was about 15. But see, he was under the covering of a man of faith. It would be different for somebody that was not under the man of faith. To whom much is given, scripture passage says, much will be required. If it was somebody else that's not under that kind of, that's not directly connected, then God will say, okay, I understand. But it was, he saw his father live faith, speak faith, do everything about faith. So at about 15, I can't remember the exact year, but was very young. At less than 15 or 15, I think it was up to 15. God spoke to Papa. He said, no, don't pray for him. He said, by now, you should be able to exercise his faith to deal with that thing. He said, what you do is you let him pray, and then you stand in faith with him. Then the boy prayed, and the paralytic said, amen, and then God healed him. Come up! Either. To whom much is given, much is required. Somebody born in the village, I don't want to mention any church. Now all that he knows is just to pray in the understanding. God will cover him. But you and I that understand to pray, they understand to bind the devil, that you have the knowledge, you have the Bible. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was only once on a Sabbath day that will hear the word of the synagogue. Then they will cram it. They will have phylacteries on their head. And then they will read. And they will cram it. But now you have the phone on your, you have the Bible on your phone. You put it in your pocket. You have all the confessions simulated. So perfect by the Father of the house. In that love book, you have it. Folks, the same standard that God is going to bring to us is going to be different from those that are outside that have not heard at all. That was why the judgment that came upon David was very severe. He knew. I said the other time by the Spirit of God. Abimelech threw somebody's wife based on what Abraham said. Both of them were tempted with committing adultery. Picks somebody's wife, but because Abraham had said, my sister, so he took him. David sees Bathsheba. He didn't know initially. So he didn't know. He went and inquired. He said, is Bathsheba the wife of Uriah? He knew. Honesty of heart here, dishonesty of heart here. Because he knew mercy could not cover him. Abimelech did not know. Mercy kept all those desires of the flesh under. That's the difference. Abimelech did not know. So God said, I have kept you because of the integrity of your heart. Doesn't stop here. Now return him. He returned. David saw the same woman. His wife was not married and he had taken it. God wouldn't say anything because he had more than one wife. But he inquired. And he said, it is the wife of Uriah, the Hittites. Honestly, that was the time David said, mercy, Lord. Yeah, mercy, Lord. Lord God, please have mercy. I'm terribly committing adultery, please. That is what you should do when you're under pressure. Cry for mercy. But did not cry for mercy. He was dishonest. So God could not give mercy. So he sinned and it cost him 4 children. Not in my notes. Let's continue. So what are we saying? We are talking about Moab. Let's see the problem that God has with Moab. Moab, like I said, is a type of flesh. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 11. This is the problem with Moab. The problem with Moab is that when I talk about Moab, the flesh ordinarily is okay. When I talk about the flesh, he's talking about the residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. That's the problem. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 11. What does he say? Moab has been at ease from his youth because of his sin nature. And he had settled on his lease and had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him. That is stagnancy. He's in the same place. He's not moving forward. He's not going backwards. He got born again 20 years ago. He's still in the same position. God is bringing word after word, trying to do everything. Okay, give them this. Part of the dunking is give them this. Okay, dunk them again. Let them come to Jesus. Dunk them again. Okay, give them tracks to use. Keep dunking. But yet, Mark says in one place, they refuse to change. Stagnancy. Neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore, his state remained in him. And his scent is not changed. Next verse. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will send him wanderers that shall cause him to wander and shall empty his vessel and break their bottles. The destruction of the flesh. That's the bottle. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So let's keep reading. So we've seen that. So, but we are called to take the narrow way that leads to life. When it says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, I'll just quote. Because Pastor Mary said, straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Said, few there be that find it. What does it mean? Let me put it another way. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to the life of God being made manifest in your mortal flesh. If we are talking about the flesh today, Moab, the way to deal with your flesh so you don't do what David did, you don't do what all the other people did, is to follow the straight and narrow way which has been revealed to you so that the flesh will not trip you up somewhere down the line. The Agag that you don't kill become the Haman tomorrow. Now again, I repeat, it may be a hard message, but I'm trusting that God will help me. God does not demand immediate perfection, but demands immediate practice. The fact that you and I are here today to hear this is because there is hope. Understand that. If you are not here today, then we'll say that God has already destroyed the flesh. But the fact that you are hearing is that God is saying, oh yeah, it's like you are going this way. And I say, turn left. I've not yet gotten to left though. So if I'm still here, that means there is chance to turn left. But if I pass this place, then I can't turn left again. Do you understand? So turn ye northward, for you have come past this mountain for too long. So why is God saying this to us? That life is the life that will give life to our mortal flesh. Pastor has taught over and over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Say that that the life of Christ is made manifest in our mortal. We know the scripture. I don't want to spend time because of it. So why do we have to strive? Say, why do we have to strive? For two reasons I have here. Reason number one is to overcome Satan and his power in the air. Ephesians 2:2. It says that wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that now spirit that now walketh in the children of the... Let no man deceive you. You see, the leaders in church have done us a lot of trouble, lies. They have deceived God's people. So people begin to feel, it's just me. It's not you. There is something in the air. Two reasons. Satan in the air and the residual sin nature in your soul and in your body. So, folks, this is my phone. I use the Airtel line, an MTN line. The only reason why I will not receive messages from MTN and Airtel is I switch up this phone when you die physically. As long as this phone is on, they don't need my data to send messages to me. So as long as the prince of the power is there and he has his SIM card in your soul and in your body, you will always receive messages. But the only difference is when the message pops up. This phone is a very funny phone. It's a China phone. They send all kinds of rubbish to me. Because they have already put some apps there that I can't remove it. I can't delete it. There's nothing I can do. And they use my data to send messages to me. Silly messages. I will delete one there and that one will come in. But you see, the only thing I can do is this. The degree of my diligence. So when the message comes, like if I'm preaching now, it will pop up. Pop. Immediately delete. Pop. Immediately delete. Pop. Immediately delete. So I don't linger and say, let me see, what is this saying? Dating sites. That's Satan for you. He's the prince of the power of the air. The dragon. So, two problems. Satan and the spine, the Ephesians 2:2, and residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. Now, how does this operate? Look at the life of David. Why are we studying David? Because we have the tabernacle of David. I mentioned the other day, David made three terrible mistakes that the Bible records. And all of them were based on loss of flesh, loss of eyes, and pride of life. We talked about the one of Bathsheba just now. The second one was when he went to carry the ark without inquiring. He said, we have not sought God after Judah. Are you following me? That is, what is that? That's the loss of your eyes. Why? Let us do it like the Philistines do it. So he built another ark. Now, the last thing we are going to look at, which I want us to focus on, how Satan operates, is when he went to number the people. The pride of life. First Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 in the Amplified Bible. First Chronicles chapter 21, we're looking at Satan. We say there are two problems: sin in the air and sin in your flesh. Understand it. You, as you are going every day, you have a bomb that is ticking in your head, your soul, and your body. Don't spare your flesh. Don't say, no. So let's read. Satan, an adversary, stood up against Israel and stirred up, say, stirred up David to number Israel. So it was Satan that was behind it. Verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. See what he did. 7. It was Satan behind it all. And God was displeased with this reliance on human resources. So what David did was a consequence of Satan working on his mind to come and take stock of his armory, arsenal, army. It was Satan, no? Walking to the pride of life. You know why we have to be very careful in this end time? When the glory begins to manifest, as it begins to face the glory of the latter house, we have to be very, you have to have dealt with your flesh. That's why it's not everybody that will, the level of glory carried, like Pastor has said, will be determined by the amount of how established your heart is. Go and ask from Solomon. So, we've read that. First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 8 in the Message Bible. In the Message Bible. First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 8. And David prayed. Let's read. And David prayed. I have sinned badly. King James said, I have sinned greatly. So it's a great sin when you push your thought in your natural resources and not in the God that gave you necessary resources. A king is not saved by the might of an host. As David, when he was fighting with 600 men, who was winning for him? 600 men. They couldn't kill him. Worried about the mighty man of David. One person in a snowy pit will kill the lion. It was not him. It was not because they will or because they ran. Because God showed mercy. God anointed them. But then he forgot that is the mercy of God. That is the grace of God. That is causing him to win. So when the increase came, his heart shifted. But they trusted the Lord with all your heart. In lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways that acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. He forgot. It was God that was bringing victory. Like Paul said, I quoted earlier on. He said, God plants, Apollos waters, but folks, it's not about who plants and who waters. It is God that gives you increase because the seed you sow, it is God that gave you. The water you are pouring inside, the God that gave you. The person that will give the increase is God. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why it's a sin for any of us to take God's glory. It belongs to him. Where will you be if he didn't create you? You need to be very humble. See, then David prayed, I have sinned badly in what I've just done, substituting statistics for drugs. Forgive my sin. I've been really stupid. Yes, David. It's all depending on what you have in the bank. When you didn't have anything in the bank, didn't God provide for you? Mercy, Lord. When I read this thing, I was praying, I said, Lord, please help me. I was crying. I said, God, how am I going to make it? I must be honest. If I stay here today, how much an alert comes, my salary comes, I see myself, you know, nobody knows, but I say, spring. I enter the supermarket. How much is it? That we know. I take this one. I pack everything. In less than 1 week, it has dropped to almost zero. Then maybe I have maybe 10,000 left. I start managing that one. maybe I have to take Okada now. I can't take what do you call this? Boats. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. But we are going to make it. If he said it, he will do it. Not of him that will it, not of him that will, but God has shown mercy. But we must learn how to tap into the mercy and the grace of God. And it's all a question and a function of our heart. Praise the Lord. So the second thing, the sin nature in the flesh, I've talked about, is Romans chapter 7. Paul was complaining, and an apostle that wrote over half of the New Testament. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do it. This is what I don't want to do. That is what I do. I find myself a law warring in my members. Bring me to captivity, law of sin. He started lamenting. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall I deliver me from this body of sin? Then goes to one side, 8. God, now, after he got to that place, you see, you have to get to that place. Because if you don't get to that place, it's not going to be broke. That's why he says, a broken and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. So when you're doing it and you're jumping up and down, you feel cool with yourself. You're prophesying, you're doing everything. Then God, he was encouraging you. But because he loves you, I say, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges the son whom he receives. And he scourges you. Then you fall flat on your feet before everybody. Say, I thought he was perfect. No, he's not perfect. Then you now go back again. Then you humble yourself. Until like pastor, you keep on increasing his view to get to permanent humility. Become a pillar in the house and can no more go out. Praise the Lord. So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, I already mentioned it. Say the flesh lusts against the spirit, speak against the flesh. It's a contrary. No, I now mentioned something. I talked about it, but let me look at an example in the Bible to understand what I'm talking about. Sin lies at your door. That is the door of your soul. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. That was God told Cain when he killed his brother. Before he killed his brother was when God spoke this to him. You see, God is very, you see, let me understand. I keep saying this, so I don't see God in a bad light. God is good, though. And his mercies endure forever. Before this thing occurred, I don't have time to turn there. This guy, when he didn't do what they told them, what their father told them to do. They told them through Adam, by look, oral tradition, anything you want to offer to God, you must offer it through blood. So Abel did it, and of his own free will, stubbornness and rebellion, he did not do it. Which you want me to do in the body of Christ today. So when the glory is going to manifest, the fire came down, that's the glory, and did what? God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And no fire came down, I follow me, to cover this sacrifice. And Abel, he also brought forth of his flock and of his father thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Next verse. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Envy. So back to that scripture. Genesis 4:7. So he had not killed his brother. He had not done anything. So you can see that God is merciful. So God now comes to him before he killed his brother. He said, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? Giving him hope to change. And he said, please take it easy. Go back to six. Go back to six. Go back to six. And the Lord said unto Cain, he had not killed his brother. You see, anytime before you do something, God will always make a way of escape. If you are humble and you take it. So God, before God knew that he's going to kill his brother. So God came before that time and said, Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you envious? Says, why is thy countenance falling? Let me paraphrase. This is the thought behind God's will. Do you think I love Abel more than you? Do you think I prefer Abel to you? I love you too. Just do what I told you to do. Our race in Christianity is not against our brother or our sister. It's a race against time. If every one of us do what we have been taught to do, every one of us will inherit the glory. But some will not do like him. It's not because Satan is stronger and he forced Cain. No, as an act of his will, he just disobeyed. So next verse. So see what happens. So God now tells him. Notice, he had not killed Abel. So God was trying to say, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin, says sin, as a nature now, lieth at the door. Now, physical sin, nature, cannot be at the physical door. So he's not talking about the physical door. Are you with me? So he's talking about the door of the soul. Are you following me? Sin lieth at your door, and unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule home, say over him, say him. So now begin to talk about ruling over, using sin as him. Talking about Satan. That is, if you deal with the sin in your soul, like I was sharing about the issue of David, I follow me, then you rule over Satan in the air. So to tell you that if you had obeyed God, Satan was no match for him, neither for David. But the key still comes down to honesty of heart. If you say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, all this conversation was going on between Cain and God. Abel didn't know. Their parents didn't know. So what did I see? They were announcing publicly. No. That's why God speaks to you in your heart. You think, excuse me, what I'm saying, what you've done is bad. That is envy. but that is immorality. That's the job of my DBD. Instead of it to be saying, this body is not stone. No. Folks, ask for mercy. Say, Lord, please have mercy on me, please. Have mercy on me, please. Say, John, go before he comes out, have mercy on me. God will give mercy. So, he ruled over him. He killed his brother. So, sin lights at everybody's door. But it's not an excuse. So, why is this message very important? I have to move a bit faster, trusting the Lord. Why? Number one, God has set an open door before us in this house to obtain the prize of the high calling. That is the spirit without measure, which no man can short except the individual. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. 3:7 says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, say he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that opened it, and no man can shut except the man. And no man, and shut it, and no man opened it. Next verse. I know thy works, because I have set before thee what an open door. That open door is unto the perfection and the fullness of Christ. I follow him to possess. That is where we are right now. The door is open. You know why I know it's open? What we need to do to enter has been given unto us, and it's very simple. Perfect love of God using the mercy and the grace of God. Folks, anybody that wants to do it can pray the love prayer every morning. Every morning. In the Old Testament, they were fighting with guns and everything. But here, it's just to heart, believe, confess. So why can't we do it? Why can't we do it? We are no more going to Jerusalem with the sacrifice. Passover, Pentecost, Pentecost, in your room, you do everything. Why can't you do it? 15 minutes. Why can't you do it? 1 hour. And no man can short this, for that is a little strength. So it's not a question of the strength that you have. I follow him. God will make up for the other strength, the remaining strength. And has kept my word. So you can keep God's word, even though I have a little strength. That's dunamis. And has not denied my name, my character. Next verse. Behold, I will make them of the snake of Satan, which say they are Jews and do lie. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Next verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience with the little strength you have, consistency. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which I come to try them, which I come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Next verse. Next verse. Have I read where it says, say, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, so no man takes that crown. You see, he wasn't talking to the angel of the church alone. He was talking to the entire people in Philadelphia church throughout the ages. He said, it's not a question of your dunamis you have. I will make you, you don't have too much miraculous power. But the most important thing is this. Keep the word of my patience. Bear fruit. You are ordained to bear fruit. I want mommy sent out today. Keep bearing fruit. I will keep you. It's not the miracle that will deliver you, or the riches that will deliver you from what is coming in the end time. Keep the instruction of your father. I was thinking about you. I was telling my brother. I said, bro, make sure you pray. Foundation. Make sure you take ivermectin. Make sure you take your vaccine. A threefold cord that cannot be broken. Don't say, I will pray. And I won't take ivermectin. It won't work. Are you with me? So, an open door is set for us, which no man can shut. The second reason is God needs us through daily self-denial and the transformation of our bodies to save Nigeria, like he used Daniel and the three Hebrew boys to save Israel out of Babylonian captivity. God needs us. Say, God needs us. Instead of our prayer, we say, God needs you. God needs you. Pray. God needs you. It needs to dawn on us that God needs us. God cannot do without us. Now, what can we do without him? It's a father-son relationship that will do in unity. Now, take from something mommy shared about Nigeria some days ago. You see, look at the life of them. We're talking about self-denial here. Look at Daniel. I was a Daniel purpose in his heart that will not define himself with the king's meat. Please, we are not speaking legalism here that you don't eat. That's what we're saying. We're talking about self-denial by the Spirit. Are you with me? So we're not talking about do's and don'ts. Are you following me? So, she was sharing about the nation of Nigeria, a prophetic scripture, about the woman with the issue of blood. That she began to bleed. And said all the physicians could not help. And I thought about it. I said, look at it, it's so true. All the politicians, they couldn't help. The one that was in prison, that was already God born again, God brought him up, he couldn't help. I came to this conclusion. The only thing that can take Nigeria to the harbor of destiny is the manifestation of the sons of God. The Bible says, for this purpose, was the Son of God manifested,
that might destroy the works of the devil. So if the Son of God is not manifested, the works of the devil will continue. So she found a way through many people to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Maybe you don't need to turn there, but I didn't mention because of time. He said he walked through the crowd. That's what Nigeria is bleeding terribly. And banditry, you know, kidnappers, admin, militia, you know, fraud stars, all kinds of things. Yahoo, Yahoo plus, everything. It's bleeding. I like, you see, but the thing is this. In that story, the Lord just was on the scene. But now the world, Nigeria, is waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God to appear on the scene. So once they are looking at, they are walking toward God, there must be a synergy in terms of timing. So that we must meet. So that this is the meeting junction. The woman must not be here. And we are still in Songo. She will not meet Jesus. So there must be synchronization in what God is doing in our lives with the timing of saving Nigeria. So as Nigeria is moving towards touching the hem of his garment, also you and I, are you following me? We are grown to be like him. Are you following me? The Father and the Son, that relationship will be moving also towards Nigeria in intercession and in prayer. So bam! We'll meet. And we'll touch the hem of the garment. But I said, immediately, the bleeding stopped. Shall a nation be one at once? Yes. When the woman meets the Lord Jesus Christ or the sons of God, that's what we are. So don't let's look to any man. Don't let's look to any. Nobody can solve this problem. It's only God, and it's going to do it to you and I. Who allow the life of God to enter into our mortal body. If the life was not in Jesus' flesh and moved to his garment, if they touched him, nothing will happen. So you know what is going on? That is Jesus Christ. Say that's Jesus Christ. But read in Psalm 133. It says, how good and how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together. That's why it is very important. We are not perfect yet. With my infirmities, your infirmities, anybody can wash feet. So our life can flow. We all have a sin nature. We are yet to enter cleansing perfection. But you see, if you practice washing of feet 4 times daily, at every opportunity, at every temptation, Psalm 133 will take, that's why I say, endeavoring to keep the spirit in the bond of peace. If a man sees brother sin, he sees not on death, don't condemn him, ask for life. That should be your first port call. If you start practicing that, this world will behold how good and how present it is for bread to dwell together in unity. How do they dwell together in unity? Next verse, by washing of feet. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. So he's talking about Aaron now, the body of Christ, that went down on the skirts of his garments. That's where the nation wants to touch. Next verse. And like the dew of Hermon, as the dew that is now upon the mountains of Hermon, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life from out the spirit without measure. So two things are going on right now. Two things must take place. Anytime you see the word authority or you see the word power, he's talking about two separate things. He's talking about exousia, that is authority, the rights to use. And see the other word, power again, in the Bible, he's talking about dunamis. Now says, I give you power to tread upon, that's authority. All the power of the enemy. And that the second word there is dunamis power. Are you following me? So you have authority, exousia, and I also have dunamis. So see what is going on like this. We, as we move, like Esther company, we go and we touch the golden scepter, we receive authority. But now there must be power in the hem of our garment, in our body. So as the nation touches it, she will be healed. Those are the two things we need. You can have authority. If there is no power, it can't work. That's why we're waiting for the Messiah of the Son of God, the power of God. Still a measure. You're looking at me like, do you understand? You have a soldier. He's going to war. He has authority to use his gun. But he goes with the empty cartridge. He's lost the battle. He has authority to use the gun. He keeps firing and firing empty. So we need the authority. We touch the golden scepter. And then we now have enough ammunition of the spirit without measure. So we use the authority to fire by the spirit. Praise the Lord. So that will apply to you. So this second example I have here is the example of the boy with the epileptic seizures. If you read that story, just put it there. Mark chapter 9 verse 2. Also, it was after 6 days when the seventh day from Adam, the third day from Christ. Can we read? Prophetically speaking, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John. So he's not taking everybody. Why? Because the others are not ready. But when they come down, they will get the same blessing, which will happen. So he taketh them. Maybe he says after 6 days. I found that means it's the seventh day that this occurred. We are talking about the seventh day from Adam and the third day from Christ. Are you with me? And what happened? He took them to a high mountain apart. And then we read about the mountain apart. He talked about what the place of intercession. He says it's a very high mountain. So he's talking about how the master prays, not just an ordinary mountain. He said the high mountain. He said in that days, no scriptures are coming to me. I'm trying not to rush through. He says, shall the mountain of the Lord be exalted above all nations? Are you following? So link those scriptures. Say, apart then, sir. And it was Paul, he started praying and said, and it was transfigured before him. Now we are waiting for the transformation of our physical body. So the next thing that we know, put in verse 21, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking prophetically now, he came down in the company of Peter, James, and John. Flow. He came down in the midst of Peter, James, and John. He's going to first of all come in us. He will come to us. Are you following me? Then he will come for us, and he will come with us. So he came in the midst of Peter, James, and John. Not with the guys that were down there. We're talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. Use that as a type in the seventh day that he's trying to see that. Using it to preach. He came in the midst of three people. Peter, James, and John. Those who were close to him. Those that went with him to the mountain of prayer. Are you with me? Please don't fall asleep. Verse 21. So, they asked him. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, how long has Nigeria been in this condition? From the day of our independence. So, and he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So this time the guy was old. It was from the very time we had this problem for the day Nigeria got our independence. He has increased. Verse 22. And at one time they had cast him into the fire and to the water to destroy Nigeria. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us. Compassion is the agape love. And help us. So remember, Jesus is coming in the midst of Peter, James, and John. Are you following me? And what happens? Verse 22, verse 29, because of time, 29. So after Jesus cast out the dumb and dumb spirit, the boy was made whole. He had them over, you know, and the boy lived with. But this is what I want us to see. He told them, because we are talking today about self-denial. He said, two things he said there. He said, they could not cast him out because of your unbelief. So they were not walking in faith. Say, faith. Put that at the back of his mind. He now says that, and he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There are some leaders, seat-type leaders, that will not leave except the church fasts and prays. Go and ask from Daniel. Say, this kind, the kind of problem, the kind of bad leaders, the kind of things that are going on, is not going to leave this country except by fasting and praying. Wherever they are. That's how God is going to do it with that hand. Mighty hand. When the church begins to walk by faith, when the church begins to fast and pray as they ought to, when they begin to pray the way the master prayed, then this kind that we see, wherever they are, house of assembly, wherever they are, I won't say more than that, they will go. That is what happened. So, seventh day from Christ and through fasting and praying. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. So, this is what the problem is. I thank God for Pastor and Mommy. I'm not saying it justly. I don't flatter people. But I pleaded for my eyes to see what I see. Because there are a lot of people out there. They don't even understand what is going on. They don't even have an idea. And this is why God has cocooned us. That we are not in Borno state. You understand? It's not that we should take it easy so that we can pray. More! You can't be in the war front now and pray when bombs are going. So, guys, don't abuse the privilege. Why God has kept you, nothing is happening. You wake up in the morning, you are free, there's light. There are problems, but not like those that are right there in Zambeza Forest. Where can they pray? Understand, though? It's not for us to indulge in the flesh, it's to deny ourselves. Daily, so that salvation can come out of Zion. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 16. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Take none. Either is a small child or is not born again. That's the problem we have. Either is a small child, is born again, but is not matured. We had that some time ago. Or is not born again at all. And thy princes eat in the morning. Instead of joining Good Morning Jesus, load. Whose God is their belly? Next verse. Better than that whole land. When the king is a son, difference. When you have a child, you can't go to sleep. They will put you to shame. That's what is going on. But when you have a son, and trust in God Almighty that we'll have a son in the presidency one day. So what we have to do in terms of prayer will not be much, because he already knows what to do himself. So when, but that old land, when the king is a son of nobles, royalty, under submission to true apostolic and prophetic fathers, that is what we need. That is the connection we need. Are you following me? And I praise it in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. Isaiah chapter 18 says, woe unto you, O land, that is overshadowing with wings, that the rivers divide. If we do eat in the morning, please, I must say, don't eat. Understand what I'm trying to say? Please eat in that written morning. When your child, if you're not denying yourself, when your child in place, what to you, O land? You are playing with fire. But you have to remove the child or let him grow up if he will change. When you have a son of nobles, then you eat for strength, not for gluttony. So, the next point I have here is that this self-denial will determine the measure of a spirit without measure that you and I can carry, if at all you carry it. We'll carry it in Jesus' name. And the order of our resurrection and our eternal reward at the bema seat of Christ. I think that is clear enough. The degree to which you deny yourself, Papa says, be patient therefore, brethren. Be consistent therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And for the husband man waited for the precious fruit of the earth, until he received the early and the latter rain. Therefore also, be ye patient, for the coming of the Lord dread now. So you see, your heart must be established, because it's coming. So the degree to which you prepare your heart, and for which way, what does that mean? Your will is more humble, your mind is, you are walking now in revelation, you're not walking in the light of the outer darkness, and your emotions is being controlled by the, and tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. You are bearing fruit. You have been ordained to bear fruit, not just to do miracles. Like I said the other day in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that, I show you a more excellent way. Now says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So the more excellent way to manifest the glory is to perfect or bear fruit, abiding fruit. When you bear fruit, the fruit is love. Are you following me? When you say you are bearing fruit, it's the same that becoming conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, because God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. So when you bear fruit, are you following me? Then the measure of the life of God that you receive, you will determine it. So we can all be in this place. God looks at the hearts of everybody. He sees whether your heart is established and established. When he's distributing what is on the fathers that inherit first, they will not, that's how you're going to know. This one is manifesting the power more than this one. We are not seven deacons chosen. How come only two manifested the power? Philip and Stephen. What happened to the other five? These things were written for admonition to whom the ends of the world have come. Your destiny is between you and God, not what the other person is doing per se. If you learn to walk with God, you get all the promises of God. But it says he just shall live by his own faith. So how do we do this? As we round up. Sorry, I've taken a bit of time. Daily self-denial. Say daily self-denial, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong... No, sorry, that's not Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35 says, you wake up a great while before dawn and depart to a solitary place to what? Pray. Not to go and eat. And in the morning, you see what the master did? You see what he did? We are talking about people despising the works of the anointed. It's our pattern and it's our goal. So he said, and in the morning, rising up a great while before dawn, he went out and departed toward a solitary place and there prayed. How did he pray? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. He didn't just pray anyhow. He didn't go there and start saying, hallelujah, midday, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In spite of praying with all kinds of prayer, Judas was still there to defeat this. Can you imagine? He didn't have any signature in him. See. Says who? Say who? In the days of his flesh, plural, not Gethsemane. Gethsemane was just 3 days, folks. But also don't say Gethsemane. Remember, Jesus, unless Jesus is not your pattern, your goal, Jesus is a pattern and a goal. I follow him, saying, who in the days of the flesh, when he had offered our presence, supplication with strong crying and tears unto him, I was able to say him for that. And he was heard in that he feared. Next verse. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Look at that word learn. Twice the Bible talks about it, as far as I can remember, in the Bible of Lord Jesus Christ. That word learn. Thank you. That word learn is not that he did something wrong. That word learn, supposedly for practice obedience by the things which he suffered, by suffering, serving, daily. Mark 1. So the way he was able to obey God, are you following me, is by getting up, Mark 1:35, and praying with all kinds of prayer that we see in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Then was able to obey God even unto death of the cross. That is the roadmap that you have to follow. So it takes about just, I said, learn of me. Matthew 11, verse 18 or so downwards. He said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you find rest of your souls. So here he says, he learned obedience by the thing. So what are the two things we learn? It's very quick, what I'm about to say. You learn meekness and lowliness of heart. That is humility and honesty. What does that do for you? It gives you sufficient, self-sufficient mercy and sufficient grace. So when you learn that, you have sufficient mercy, sufficient grace. And we all know that grace gives life. The inheritance of grace. And also mercy gives life. Looking for the mercy of Lord Christ unto eternal life. So when you have sufficient, depending on the degree of your honesty and humility of heart, you now take that to the place of prayer. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. You now learn or practice obedience with what you receive in Matthew 11. You now practice obedience, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, so you can obey God. So if you don't obey God, or you don't obey him as you ought to, go back to Matthew 11. You have not practiced meekness and lowness of heart enough. So one gives you mercy and grace, sufficient life, my grace is sufficient for you. You now take the place of prayer. When I take it there, you now practice obedience by the things which you suffer. That's why I said that, he said, learn to be done by things so far. You know, talk about the fear of God. We've heard that. Then, once you want us to say about the master, we're talking about the ways of the anointed, how he walked. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah 7, 15. It says that butter and honey, let's look at that. Butter and honey shall he eat. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Messianic scriptures. That he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. So, when temptations come, because it's leading a faster life. Please, I'm not saying be eating butter and honey. These are just types and shadows. If you believe this literally, then go on and be eating locusts and wild honey. So that's not what I'm saying. These are types and shadows. That is, lead a faster life. That's the simplest way I can read. That is, knowing what to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat. Papa again said something many years ago. He said that whatever feeds your spirit, listen carefully, whatever feeds your spirit will starve your flesh. Whatever feeds your flesh will starve your spirit. Whatever feeds, let's look at that. So you can remember, you understand. So when you are sitting at a party and you see so much food, remember, whatever feeds your flesh will starve your spirit. The master said, watch and pray always. He said, so that you don't fall into temptation. He says that, you know, the kerosene, talking about the end time. So your heart is not overcharged with suffering and drunkenness. It would drain power. Whatever feeds your spirit will starve your flesh. Whatever feeds your flesh will starve your spirit. So starve your flesh. That is, don't give it everything it wants. Eat only for strength. Praise the Lord. So, then, how are we going to? We're talking about how now. Have you read that, Isaiah? Okay. Friends, you're good. So, we're going to do this by grace and mercy. We need the grace of God to labor. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. We need the grace of God to labor. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Paul said something. So I labored more than this. You see, we're not our physical labor here. Spiritual labor of life, of love, in the world, and all these things. Said that, I labored more than this. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That grace is available to everybody today. Once you are ready to humble ourselves, don't take anything big to humble yourself. Just, Lord, I humble myself. I receive sufficient grace. Bam! And it will flow. That's why we have covering. So when you fall, covering will cover you. And then you pick it up again. It just might fall seven times, yet it stands up again. Are you with me? So by grace and mercy. Mercy, how about mercy? Pastor talked about it. I was just rushed with it. Mercy not to be consumed. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, by his mercies we are not consumed. What does that mean? Let me explain so you can understand. You see, the judgment for man for disobedience is destruction from God, if not for the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. That Bible says, "Book of Isaiah, God is a consuming fire." So instead of being consumed by that fire, mercy goes ahead and the Lord God merciful. That's how God is. He's not wicked, just how he is. So he has made provision for his mercy, but it depends on how honest you are to receive the mercy. So he says, by his mercy, we are not consumed. So instead of the fire of God, that glory now to consume, mercy just stands in the place and opposes you and keeps you from getting the judgment. Aren't we grateful that Jesus Christ came to die for us? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mercy also, not to faint. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Paul was talking. He said that having received this mercy, we faint not. So it is mercy that will not allow you to faint. It is that mercy every day by which you present your body a living sacrifice. So you ask for mercy over. Don't be tired of asking for mercy, but asking faith. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep asking for mercy. Don't ask religiously. Ask for mercy. Recognize for what you have said tonight. There is no way you can get this thing done or finish to the end unless you ask for mercy and grace. So it's not how much you know. It is your heart that determines at the end of the day whether your destiny or not. So the third thing that mercy will do is will help us to triumph over Satan and over the flesh. This flesh I'll be talking about. James chapter 2 verse 13, the NIV. James chapter 2 verse 13, the NIV. James 2 13, the NIV. Are we there? See? Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But mercy does what? Triumphs over judgment. So the mercy of God received will triumph over the sin nature, the flesh. It will triumph over the attack of Satan from the air. So you say, anytime you attempt, just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. When you have it, I don't care what the temptation is. I don't care what the temptation is. If you thought of humanity, people are always afraid. People may be struggling with it. Ask God for mercy. The thing will go. If he did it for Abimelech, he will do it for you. I just use that as an example. God's children should not be afraid. We carry. His mercy is able to deliver us. And he will. Psalm 94 verse 18. Let's see mercy again. And that scripture just comes to my heart. I'll mention it. It's very important. I'll talk about Noah. But no, sorry, not Noah. Jonah. Psalm 94 verse 18. Let me read it. I'll mention it. I just came to my heart. I hope I don't forget. When I said, my foot slipped. When is your foot slipping? When you want to fall. You're walking the spirit. You are trying to do what you have been told to do. And you go out that day. It's a fasting day. And then you pass by that one that sells bonds there. All of a sudden, you just blow a fuse. Confession, straight to the wind. You can't even, you start stammering. Bros, you can never be so weak that you cannot say, Lord, have mercy on me. Whatever temptation you face in the world, because the tempter will always come. But see, it says, when I said, honesty of heart, don't keep quiet. You can say with your mouth and you can say with your thoughts. You know why? Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask for. I think I come to your part that works. I give you a very terrible example. I don't want to embarrass anybody. You are standing before a lady and thoughts of humanity bombard your mind. I bind you, spirit of humanity. You embarrass yourself. No, please follow me. A temptation does not mean you have done it. But Satan is very bad. He will wait for you. You will go out. You know how people dress nowadays? They dress their, oh God. And then you are standing. Maybe they say, let's go out and evangelize. You are the use of everybody. And you are witness to the opposite sex. Either a woman to a man to a man. Just give that literal example. And then the devil just comes. You will have waited. Back, 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 back. To your soul. I go to you. I said that I find you. I find you. But no, you can't say that, folks. You can't say that. Remember Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do, not you, exceedingly abundant about what you ask or what you think. So in your mind, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. In your mind, though, Lord, have mercy on me concerning this. Boom! The thing will go away. Nothing can stand against the mercy of God. Understand that. So don't go around like a defeated Christian. Don't go around. That's just a literal example, a very terrible example. But can take it anywhere. You can be tempted to get angry. But before it comes, God will beat you like he beat Cain. So just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Alone, I shall not feel me. I shall not feel me. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. You don't know what you're asking for mercy for. You're not going to open your big mouth and say, look, this is what's going on. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm on Torah. I'm asking for mercy. Can you say, I wish you ask for mercy? Can look at different examples. I don't want to waste time. Whatever. It could be a party. They serve food. And your flesh is fighting. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. You could go, my Lord, have mercy on me. Keep asking for mercy. The thing subsides. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, you will have mercy. You surely have mercy upon whom you have mercy upon. So you have mercy upon me today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, we see that. Yeah, two scriptures God just dropped in my heart about Jonah. The reason why we don't get mercy is we serve lying vanities. I don't know the exact words in Jonah. What is it? It said, those that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. Then the mercy is there, but they forsake it because they are dishonest. He said, when I say, this one, when I say my foot slipped, say with your mouth, say with your mind, thy mercy did what? Help me up. He will hold you up. God doesn't want us to fall. He will hold you up. Oh yeah, don't worry, son. Begin to walk. Begin to walk. Begin to walk. We are more than conquerors to Christ who loved us. This is the victory that overcometh the faith. We will overcome the world. Even our faith. In the mercy of God. Mercy will hold you up. Jonah says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You want to be proud. Are you following me? Maybe you have asked for mercy. God has delivered you. Now do what God says you do. Leave, flee every appearance of evil. Don't do gra-gra. They that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. You say, it doesn't matter, Jerry. You are playing with fire. That's how Pastor Williams pronounces heaven. Fire! You are playing with fire. When, you know what? You are not honest. Why did Jonah have to wait for 3 days? It could have been one day. Well, when God broke his pride, he said, if I don't ask for mercy, I will die. You know, I say what he said in the blood. He said, I've been forsaking my mercy. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Please have mercy on me. You know what the mercy of God did? A 3-day journey. He had already gone 3 days to Tarshish. In one day, the fish took him, that submarine, took him straight and dropped him in the place of destiny. A quick walk will I do. And cut you. So it does not matter where you are today. The mercy of God will do a quick walk. If you are honest and take you to that place, I don't care what you have lost. It will bring it back in one day. That is the mercy of God for you. Don't observe lying vanities. Mercy is there to deliver you. He's not willing that any should perish. Neither is he willing that any of us should not fulfill our destiny, which is to conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't do it, it's not because God could not do it. It's because we have called him a liar. We will not call him a liar. The Bible says, Romans, it is our faith that it might be by grace that the promise will be sure to all the seed. Actually, you can make it. What you can't become like Jesus Christ. You don't have to be. It is not physical muscles. John Olubu, you can do it. Enoch, you can do it. He said, it is by faith. It is by faith. That it might be by grace, that the promise of the perfection and fullness of Christ may be sure to all the seed. It's not whether you are educated or not educated. It's a question of obeying what he has told you to do. Anybody can carry the bold anointing. Do what you have been told to do. Children, if you say pray in the morning, do it. Don't doubt it. Don't despise the instruction of a father. The Bible says that in the book of Proverbs, it says that he that despises to obey his father, and despise to obey his mother. I said, the ravens of the valley shall take out his eyes. When you despise the instruction of your father, he said, pray, do this love confession. You don't do it. Nobody does this when I'm in school. We did it just then. So you find out that he said, I and the children are for signs and wonders in Israel. How will you like it? You are standing like this, carrying a measure of the bold anointing. Grace Lord is standing like this, carrying another measure. You see your Nathan standing like this, carrying another measure. Don't say it is not possible, because the fear of God just gave an example. Go and ask from Philip and his daughters. He had 7 daughters that prophesied. 4 daughters that prophesied. It does not matter. Some people may be praying for 1 hour now. When we line to read us for 15 minutes now, depending on what has been revealed unto you, when it comes, it's going to flow from top to the bottom. Will you not be ashamed Even the children's church. You see, you fair? Just using people's names. How about the family's son? Carry the power of anointing. There are three levels of pastors. Some will heal the sick. Some will cleanse leper. The final son will raise the dead. So at his own level, maybe he prays for people, they are healed. You at your own level. Let us say you are not even able to raise them. But by reason of time, you ought to be a teacher. You'll be able to bring healing miracles. Leprosy. You cannot even pray for the sick to be healed. Then you go and meet Ife, and then you need them. Ife, please, I'm sick. Please pray for me. That's why you Bible said in that day, we know them that serve him and those that don't serve him. When the manifestation of God comes, bam! That is what the day does. Light will see what you and I are doing and what we are not doing. It will not be a question of story. It's not story. Now we say, who prayed this morning? We stop. No, I'm not saying when you miss it. Please understand again. We are practicing. Hey, who prayed? I did. Have you said, yes, I did. I done. Then the glory manifests. Then it will now show those that prayed and those that did not pray. Those that prayed well and did not pray well. You're going to find different categories. Gold, silver, precious stones. Then you also have wood, hay, and stubble. So when you now find people being cut off, two thoughts have been cut off. What I'm preaching today, two thoughts of the church, and in that terrible condition. That's how we have to hasten the time and then reach out and save as many as we can save, so as by fire. Unfortunately, some people will cut off not because they don't want to know, but because they have not been taught. That's where we are standing. People die and go to hell daily. Some because they have not heard. Say, who shall I send? When he spoke to Isaiah, he said, Lord, send me. Send me. He told Paul. Paul said, oh God, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I will go. So when you are tired, let me give an example. I give my heart. I'm just talking. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Pastor and mommy are not around today. We're in different time zones. When we are praying here, they are supposed to be sleeping, right or wrong. But they don't sleep. They pray. You didn't get what I said. Different time zones. So that what there can be a synergy. What we are doing here and what they are doing there. They don't say, okay, I will do my own when they are sleeping. No. They get up at their inconvenience and then they pray. So that they can lead the people to battle. They don't stay back like David and tarry and say, go, Joab. No. They join and they pray. Thank God for his faithfulness. Okay, Lord, help me to stop. So, where are we? I already mentioned it. The mercy of God is very important. By it, we are not consumed. The mercy of God to deliver us and uphold us. When we stumble, there's not mercy. I've forgotten now. To triumph. Yeah. Faithful and victorious. So, we need the mercy of God. And give it to the honest heart. So, how? I'm trying to break it down. How would daily do this thing? We all know it. We daily use the blood, the word, and the spirit. To daily perfect the love of God. Say, we daily use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. That little confession we take, that love book is very important. Don't go to war without your armor on. It's dangerous. Are you following me? Then, God gave me something, and I will write it down as he gave it to me, and then we'll stand up and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing mercy. I put it here. I was thinking of the scripture some days ago, and God spoke to me. I'll read what he said. You see, many times when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like it. Nobody feels like forgiving. Nobody feels like praying. Nobody feels like getting up, like, Pastor, I'm going to get up. You know, it's not as if they want, if they feel like they don't do it, it's a question of their will. They set their will. Nobody feels like doing, the flesh does not want to do the will of God. So, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Then God now spoke to me. I'll read what he said. Then Galatians, before I read it, Galatians chapter 5 and 6 says, faith walketh by love. So you walk in love by faith. And as you walk in love by faith, when you call the money, when you don't feel like it, as you start acting in faith, then your faith now starts walking by love. One is W-A-L-T, the other one is W-O-R-K. Let me read it. You can even type it on the board. We start daily by walking in love. When you get out to pray, by faith. Are you following me? Then our faith now starts working by love. Don't get. If you can help me type it on the board, I'll be very grateful to understand. I'm not playing with words, but just is how it is. You get up in the morning, Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I wake up in the morning, everywhere is aching me. I don't feel like forgiving. I remember what that person did. I remember this. I don't feel like praying and all that. Anything is coming against my mind. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I get up. I take that love book. Are you following me? To choose the fear of God. I don't feel like choosing the fear of God that day. So I say, Lord, have mercy on me to receive your blood, to cleanse of my sins. I see your life and power and sufficient measure to pray now. Say, I choose the fear of God. I still don't feel like it, but I'm walking by faith. I choose to fear God. So I choose to fear God. So I humble myself by submitting to the will of God. Even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of his judgment and chastening if I disobey, and the security of his mercy when I obey. I say it by faith. Heart, mouth, do. Heart, mouth, do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. So I start my love walk by faith. When I start it by faith, this is what now happens. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says that faith walketh by love. That walk there is, that is operational by dunamis. So when I start like that, little faith I have, you must start seed. I begin to make those confessions. I wake up, I go and don't you Jesus. I continue. I follow me. As I continue doing that, that faith that I'm using to walk in Lord, W-A-L, please, can you ever type it and put it on the board so people can understand what I'm saying? That faith that I'm using to walk in love, are you following me? By just obeying, even I don't feel like it. That faith, are you following me, activates my love. The love now takes over for my faith. And then the love now begins to make my faith work. Are you following me? So when I go out in the day, I can speak to mountains and they will move. So that's what the Bible says, faith walketh by love. But you must first of all start walking by faith. Let us pray and talk to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read together. We start daily by walking in love by faith. Then our faith starts walking by love. So we now go out to the day. Satan brings you to the spirit. Speak to this mountain. They can talk to it. I will cast into the sea. I will obey you. I have heard, please sing that song. One more thing. Just a second. I put something here. I'm trying to mention some things to encourage us. It's been done before. Last night, I said before we pray. I mentioned Papa again about what he said about feeding your spirit and starving your flesh. And that God gives it. That is what biggest word did. And he stood out till tomorrow in all the men of God. We know, I can't remember the exact time. Pastor shared before. He will pray, maybe 15 minutes. He will read the Bible maybe every 30 minutes. I'm not sure of the timing. But you know what the man did? He didn't look at anybody's face. If you are talking to him like this, I remember to pray. He said, I have to pray. We have to be a fanatic to that level. We have to be a fanatic to that level. Now you may be in a place like right now, ministry, I can't pray. But I must get the habit of saying, Lord, have mercy on me. But so you can be with biggest what? At the table. You are talking, you are just in the family, oh, blah, bro, bro, blah, blah. He just remembers. You just stop. We have to pray. They will call you a fanatic. Yes. Let's be a fanatic for Jesus so we can end this age. That's what it's going to take. If I set my alarm, I say, provoking one another to love. Is that what the Bible says? I set my alarm to every hour. Ask my wife when we are going on. I'm not perfect. We enter the car. We want to start just on the prayer. Let us pray. At times I forget. I'm in the office. Pastor only does the same thing to the glory of God. My phone, I will be with him. I think God wants to show to this soon. His phone will just ring. 3 o'clock. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Provoke one another unto love. So if I'm standing with you and I start praying, yes, you join me. Don't say he's a fanatic. He just cut the conversation. No. You want to raise his head like this, what? Pray like he did. That's what he did. No scandal in his ministry. You're not wondering how come he had that kind of boldness. He made it a duty. That's what it means that you seek first the kingdom of God. When he says, couldn't you watch me for 1 hour? It's not just battle prayer. It's also watching and praying always every hour of the hour. That's what it means. Not just praying like he didn't get some money. Every hour of the hour. So you will forget. There's nobody you will not forget. But this one has not been programmed to forget unless your battery runs down. So when the time comes, it will beep. Time to pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. I choose to fear God. I choose the love of God. When it's a busy place and you can't do anything, I teach you a trick. You can't do anything. You don't have much time. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me to choose the fear and the love of God. That's all. You know, you may not have time to say, I choose the fear of God. So humble myself, pass me to God. When I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, no desire of judgment, if I disobey, God mercy when I obey. The time is so short. And then, Father, please fill my will, my emotions with more love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, fitness, you know, that I think, feel, and act and do in every circumstance and every situation. You don't have that time. You see, it just come because the mercy of God. Say, Lord, please have mercy on me to choose the fear and the love of God. Pray in tongues, it will work. God is not looking at how much you are doing. Practice, but your determination to do it. Daniel, when he purposed in his heart, he had not done everything. But when he got all this one has purpose, mercy and grace flowed. The others did not purpose, nothing flowed. Except him and the three Hebrew boys. Please sing that song. Let's sing in faith. Thank you, Father.
Lord Jesus. And Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways.
Please, let's sing together as a prayer.
Oh, sing our rightful minds in pure.
Thank you, Jesus.
Realize thy son is fine.
Of quietness.
Drop down.
Just sing it as a prayer unto the Lord.
Of quietness, still all us striving.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Is about to dawn. God is calling us to come up ether and has shown us things that must be hereafter. Mercy is available today. Grace is available. Rebuke every spirit of unbelief that says you can't become like him. Who said so? Bible says, does not delight in the strength of the horse. He delights in using the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Why? So that no flesh can boast before him. Don't say, I can't talk. Looking for people like Moses. Looking for people, Lord, that have been rejected. It's very important. You are the exact person he's looking for. You can pick Rahab and plug him to the general of Jesus Christ, then he can pick you. I don't think there's any prostitute in our midst today. You are not too old. He picked Abraham, for God's sake, at 75. With all his weaknesses, he still made it. I don't care the mistakes you've made. Don't observe their lying vanities. As long as they have not blown the whistle, the match is not over until it's over. Talk to God. Ask for mercy. Just a thought. There was a mat Nigeria played some years ago with Russia. They call it the Daman Miracle. Nigeria was 4-0 at the end of the first half. I remember, I was university in those days. When it was 4-0, I left. But it was one out of my room. I said, I'm going out. Before I got to where I was going to, fall. What is going on? National disgrace. But all of a sudden, you young men will not be like, oh, hey, hey. From the middle, they kicked the first shot. You know what happened? The Russians got proud that you are going to win the match. It is not over until it is over. Nigeria went on to win the match. Scored 4-4. They went to penalties and then we won. We call it the Daman Miracle. Or about Brazil when we were playing Nigeria at the Olympics. Atlanta 96. We are 3-0 down. 3-1. Then the game continued. Before you knew it, poo, one, poo, two, poo, three. 4-3. Pride goes before destruction. But we know this wisdom. A broken and a contrite spirit will not despise. Let's humble ourselves. The grace is available and mercy is available. And we'll win this match and close the age. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to strive daily, poor daily self-denial, to enter into the kingdom that is the total dominion of my soul and body by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I come to ask and to receive fresh mercies in sufficient measure. Grace in sufficient measure to enable me to be more diligent and consistent in the practice of these principles of the Christ life under the covering of my set spiritual fathers, knowing that whenever I fall, your mercy will hold me up until I grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, let's now pray unity. Rabba son drabba to pray. Rubo sakaya kata. Rubo sum bromo sikara bukuria. Umbromo santa. Father, we thank you. Rubo sum grama roba kuto. Lord, just thank you. Rubo sum bromo. Holy Spirit, thank you. Rubo sum bromo. Aguraba sovereign. Rubo sarba kufin. Kolo sarba kuro. Saka bakofre. Rubo sum bromo. Sarba kuto basab kuto fre. Rubo sa. Rubo sa. Rubo sum bromo. Kuro basalaba kuto fre. In Jesus' name. Amen. You will be here today and have a need of healing. I don't care what that healing is. The mercy of God is here. Just say, Lord,